everybody, here we go again. Another episode of Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. with Celeste Hackett. And if you're watching this video anywhere else, because I know they're on all kinds of websites everywhere, you know, what you need to do is you got to go to calbanyan.com, at C-A-L-B-A-N-Y-A-N, because right down here below the video are links and texts and other kinds of resources. So make sure you go to calbanyan.com. All right, then you'll see me look down once in a while because I got my monitors down here. I got like monitors spread out all from left to right. It's like a newsroom in here. How's it going, Celeste?
Oh, hey, Cal. I'm doing great. I'm just over here doing bunches of sessions and, you know, the normal stuff, writing articles, taking care of my niece who's come to live with me, and just reading the latest journal of hypnotism because of a good friend of mine. Is writing about something called informed soul technique. And boy, this is good, Cal. You did a good job on this.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm just kind of coming out of, you know, behind my technical kind of, I don't know, psychological kind of job that I always do, and starting to show more of my spiritual side. Everyone who's studied Seven Path with me knows that that's a very mind-body-spirit approach, and this informing soul technique has kind of been my secret weapon that I've never really put into a class before until recently, and so I wrote about it for the NGH Journal, and everybody's writing me love letters about it, so it's good to let people know that, you know what, I'm a spiritual guy, I believe in that kind of stuff, I believe that, you know, we are spiritual beings having an earthly experience. Anything else interesting in that journal?
Well, I mean, I just want everybody to know it's page 49, and also that you give like almost step-by-step instructions right in here, a lot of them, but go even in more depth into your informed soul, the whole thing that you did, the DVD CD package, and you know, a lot of people are probably going to want to, once they read the article, they're going to want to know about that, that there is more information. Oh, you know, this is a really good journal. We got some stuff in here from Will Horton that's really good, and Tony DeMarco. I like his stuff a lot, thoughts from Tony. And then, of course, Sean Brookhouse always gets me laughing. But anyway, yeah, I've just been kind of hanging out reading the Journal of Hypnotism this week, and just doing the regular thing, getting into my classes. And if you want to know more information on my training classes, finally there's a career school for hypnosis that is state approved here in Dallas.
Yay!
Just go to familyfirsthypnosis.com.
Great, good. Hey, and I noticed on the cover of the magazine, it's one of the first times they didn't have like somebody's face. What's on there?
It says it's the Charles Tebbets Award. It's the lamp.
That's right. I got one right there. I'm so excited back there.
Awesome. And you won another award this year. What was that?
That was NGH President's Award.
Now, how do you have room for all of these?
Oh, man. I tell you, I just got rooms and rooms full of that stuff. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, hey, what are we going to do today on the show?
Well, we're going to talk about making self-hypnosis effective. We had a really good question about that. And if we have time, we're also going to get to using hypnosis to prepare for like college and high school exams. So should we move right into the question portion? Or are you ready to do that?
Oh, let me, I'm looking over at my big calendar over there. And also, I think that this video will air before the Week of Power, which comes up November 16th through 22nd. If you guys out there around the world want to lift your hypnosis practice and skills and confidence to the next level, go to my Banyan Week of Power, and we'll get together and do some stuff. And by the way, if you don't want to come all the way out here, hit hypnosiscenter.com or hypnosis.org. We have authorized trainers in different parts of the world, Singapore, Lebanon, Canada, that teach my courses. And gosh, you might not want to come all the way out here. You just plug in one of the local people like Celeste Hackett, who does our certification course on our Week of Power. All right, now, lay some questions on me there, Celeste.
Okay, this one is from our HypnoSpace, which is a place you can go to connect with other hypnotists. So, you know, just do some elbow rubbing there, and there's all sorts of different things that you can do there. I'm sure when you get there, you'll spend a lot of time there because it's very interesting. So it's ourhypnospace.com. And there's a place on ourhypnospace.com called Ask Cal. And it's sort of a place where you can ask hypnosis questions. And so a writer named Vincent writes in and he says, "Hello, Cal. I recently became interested in hypnosis. I want to improve my life and help my friends with their problems. I hypnotize myself. And the way I do it is I record myself saying an induction and then give myself some suggestions. And after that, I exit. My induction is a modified version of the Elman induction. Instead of the arm drop, I do arm levitation. Now, there's also two extra deepening techniques, the stairs and the elevator I do. The system works very well with my friends and family, but, he says, for me, it doesn't work so well. I go into medium hypnosis. Sometimes I don't even get there, but I never manage to get into somnambulism. I know so because of the end of my induction, there's an amnesia suggestion and I always remember it. So what I'm supposed, the one that I'm supposed to forget. Since I started, I have had no results for what I am using hypnosis for. I don't know what to think now. Is it me who is not suggestible enough? I don't see what a professional hypnotist would do differently besides an instant induction. If you could help me get into somnambulism, Cal, I would greatly appreciate it." I think he means using self-hypnosis, Cal. Take it away, Cal. What do you have to say to that?
Wow, that's a whole lot of questions in there, but one of the... You got to understand hypnosis, and one of the things that's really fundamental to hypnosis is that somnambulism, which is a deep state of hypnosis, and really the scale I use is a modified Harry Aaron scale, which is hypnoidal, and then light, medium, and then threshold of somnambulism, full somnambulism, and profound somnambulism. And some tests for the threshold of somnambulism are amnesia by suggestion and analgesia by suggestion. And the problem is it's really difficult for one to both be inducing the state, to have that level of mental complexity going on in, you know, the frontal cortex of the mind, and at the same time go into that kind of relaxed mental state that's required for somnambulism. So they're basically kind of mutually exclusive states, and so it's hard to take oneself into somnambulism. If you want to go into somnambulism for self-hypnosis, the best thing to do is to go to a experienced, well-trained, qualified hypnotist, and then have that person take you into somnambulism and give you a post-hypnotic suggestion for reinduction of somnambulism. For example, the person would take you down into that state, test you to make sure that you're in the state of somnambulism, and then give you a post-hypnotic suggestion like, the next time you want to go into hypnosis, all you have to do is get yourself in a safe, comfortable position where you can close your eyes for a few minutes, and then do the following, like perhaps count from 1 down to 10, saying the words deeper, relaxed after each one, and by the time you get to 10, you'll be in somnambulism. And then what they would do is they would compound that suggestion over and over in the hypnosis and then test it after they emerge the individual from hypnosis to make sure that would work. And really, any kind of post-hypnotic suggestion would work. For example, Jerry Kine, I believe he uses a visualization of putting a switch in the back of the head, and the person will just mentally hit that switch by going like this with their finger, and boom, popping into somnambulism. But the problem is, if you start doing a lot of like giving yourself suggestions in that state, that can, because of the activity of the mind, can begin to emerge you again. And so one of the things... best thing to do is don't worry about somnambulism with self-hypnosis. Self-hypnosis generally is done through a preponderance of repetition. Every day I'm going to do 5 minutes of self-hypnosis. Or better yet, every morning and every night I'm going to do, 5 minutes of hypnosis, and then just pick one thing. Think of all the things you'd like to improve on in your life, and then pick the most important thing and stick with that one thing. And because if you start working on, you know, on Thursday you're working on making more money, and on Wednesday you're working on losing weight, and you know, on Saturdays you're working on confidence, then what happens is it just kind of dilutes the whole process. What you really want to do is pick one thing, work on that every day, that most important thing to you, until that starts happening. And don't worry about how deep you are. The more you are concerned about how deep you are, the more you're not going to go deep. And that's just the way it is. Also, I highly recommend, of course, my system, which is the 7-Path Self-Hypnosis System, which works with a process of emptying the cup, which means getting rid of the thoughts and feelings that are blocking you from success, and then teaches you how to put in specific suggestions. Was there any more to that question that I need to answer there, Celeste?
Only that, you know, he does say, I don't know what to think now. Is it me who is not suggestible?
You know what? The not suggestible. It's him. It's not that he's not suggestible. It's that he's expecting to be his own somnambulistic hypnotist. And that's just a really difficult thing to do. Most people aren't going to be able to do it. I don't even think it's worth trying for. I'm sure there's people out there that might disagree with me, but I've had great success with self-hypnosis. I've taught hundreds, if not thousands, of people how to do self-hypnosis, and we find that the approach I'm recommending works just fine. Everybody is suggestible. Everybody goes into hypnosis. It's just doing it for what you want, when you want, that really defines doing hypnosis with either a hypnotist or doing it as self-hypnosis.
Yeah, and he says he doesn't know what a hypnotist would do differently besides an instant induction. Well, there's a whole lot that a hypnotist who's got advanced training could do other than the things that you're doing for yourself that you've mentioned here. For instance, age regression. For instance, parts therapy. Forgiveness of others, forgiveness of self. And yeah, you might be able to, if you know what words to use, start something like that. But then if you're in hypnosis, your mind can really start wandering and you don't know how long you're in there because there's time distortion. And all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to give yourself another suggestion when you begin to become aware that it's time to do another part within the technique that you're using. But see, if a hypnotist is helping you, they're going to keep you on track time-wise because your mind can just kind of wander. And if that's happening, it might take you a year before you get through a whole age regression with informed child and everything, if you're even able to do that at all.
You know, you're so right on. So working with a good hypnotist or a hypnotherapist or, you know, whatever you want to call it, wherever you live, they're going to be able to look at your situation more objectively. They're going to be able to do covert testing, deepening techniques, and then run you through the advanced techniques like age regression, parts mediation work, and all that kind of stuff. So you're right on.
Yeah, and if hypnosis is the bypass of the critical factor and you're there, well, then you can't be really critically or looking at what's coming up for you or analyzing it very well. So to be able to go back and forth through those states of mind, very, very hard. Like Cal says, there certainly are people who say that they've done it or that they do it or that it's possible, but why not just go see a hypnotist?
I think you're absolutely right. If you've got access to one, go see a professional hypnotist. But in the meantime, you know what? Learn some self-hypnosis. Start working on your issues. Or if you've got no issues, like Celeste, you know, you can just work on going beyond where you're already at. Work towards higher achievement and self-actualization.
Ooh, that was good, Cal. We gave good answers.
Good. How are we doing on time?
That's what I was about to ask you because, once again, I forgot to start my timer.
Okay, I think we got about another 5 minutes.
Another 5 minutes, okay.
Flip me a quickie.
Yeah, we got a quickie here. Dear Cal, this one's about using hypnosis to prepare for exams. I recently was approached by a teacher at a local college about how to help students with taking exams, and I was wondering if you had a philosophy about what suggestions should be used for this subject. And he says that Should suggestions include study habits or recognizing and overcoming distractions? What about confidence? And how would you integrate these things into a script? And I have a couple of scripts for taking exams, but they do not deal with, he says, preparation for the exam, just with anxiety during the exam. So he said he'd love to hear our thoughts on that.
Well, you know, what you really need to do is you got to be with your client. You can't think about, okay, some people, they just get too excited about, oh, I got someone coming in for this, and they start thinking about all the stuff that they need to do and trying to second guess the client that's not even in a chair yet, you know. And you find out, sit down, talk to them, find out, you know, what is it that they need to change. I would say, for example, I'd say to the person, what is it that you need to start doing consistently that if you were doing it consistently, you'd do excellently in school and exams and stuff like that. Sometimes it's a behavioral issue, like they're not studying well or something like that. Now, if they say, well, you know, actually, I'm doing a lot of studying, I'm putting the time in, but when it comes to actually taking the exam, I choke, I get nervous, I get too upset, and so that's a different kind of thing. So some of the stuff we do is we focus on behavior, like, you know, is the person doing the studying behavior? And then the other thing we work on is the emotional component. Some people are getting too emotionally upset and they can't concentrate or recall during the exam. I remember, oh boy, long, long, long time ago when I was taking the exam that you take to get scores for applying to graduate school, I was so nervous, my fingers were turning ice cold. I actually put gloves on, and I'm sure that nervousness did not help at all in taking the exam. So let me tell you a story. Squeeze something in here real quick. As I was working with a little girl in Singapore while I was doing some training there, and her issue was she would study, she knew the answers, but as soon as she actually took the exam, it was like, she says, all the answers would just fall out of my head. And what we did with her is 5-PATH. We did the phase one is preparation, testing, and convincing. And kids are easy, by the way. You can get stuff done really fast with them. And she was going into hypnosis. She's reaching the proper level. I think she was like 9 years old, something like that. And then we did the age regression work. We brought up the feeling that she gets whenever she takes a test. We followed it back. We found the initial sensitizing event. And then we went to the SSEs, which are the subsequent sensitizing events that reinforce the testing problem. And then what a lot of hypnotists don't know about, even if they do age regression, is a thing that I call, which is age progression. When we go into the past, we have the clients revivify. And then what I like to do is have the client go into the future and pre-vivify, kind of a word I made up, pre-live the event, and have her go through a number of exams in a calm state after we've undone the cause of the problem. And then it was so funny because I borrow Don Motton's concept. I don't know if he invented it or not, but I do a version of his red, 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 and gave a suggestion every time she sees the color red over the next few days or whenever she takes an exam, all the good positive things that we did here today are going to happen for her, and you're going to be calm and your memory is going to be very good and you're going to be able to do excellently on the test. And she went and had the exam. It was a very important exam. It was like in Singapore, you take this one really important exam and it decides what you're going to, you know, do in middle school and all this kind of stuff. And she told her mom, her mother called me and told me about that. She goes, Mom, I knew that I was going to pass the exam and I was going to do wonderfully. And her mom said, why? Because my teacher, she had a red purse. Okay, but she did. She just did absolutely fantastically on the exam. So this is what we do. We got to find out what it is that needs to change. Is it a behavior or is there an emotional blockage? And then also, you know, I recommend that we do 5-PATH. I also did the forgiveness work with her. She didn't have any secondary gain issues, so we didn't have to go as far as the fifth phase. Anything else, Celeste?
Just, I had a client, and this is real quick, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's just like you say, you have to talk to the client in the chair to find out what's going on with them, and then you'll know how to proceed. We did like 3 or 4 sessions, everything was going well. I was expecting, and this is all for studying for this big exam she had coming up at work so that she could be promoted. And she came in and all of a sudden she hadn't been studying. And at first I thought, oh my gosh, whatever we did isn't working and time is closing in on us, you know. But then upon questioning her, they had given her a whole bunch of extra duties at work, and she was getting home at 9 or 10 o'clock, and she simply didn't have the time to study. And she was beating herself up about that. I said, why don't you come back after this period at work is done, and then you'll have a true testing ground, and we can work from there. So you really need to talk to your clients, listen to them, and see what's happening and what their fears are and what their benefits will be from making the change and all, and also what their fears are and what they think they need to do differently.
Great, great input on that. Good. So be with the client. You know, don't just go through things by rote. Find out what they need. You know, a professional could be defined as someone who helps people solve their problems and makes a good living at it. And that's what hypnotists should be doing, finding out what the problems are, applying hypnotic and related techniques to solving those problems. Good job, Celeste.
Well, thank you, Calvin. I guess we should wrap up now.
Let's wrap it up.
All right, I'm Celeste Hackett in Dallas, Texas. Please visit me on the internet at familyfirsthypnosis.com. Check out my training classes. Tell a friend. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, this is Cal Banyan. CalBanyan.com, hypnosis.org, free seminars, lots of good stuff there. HypnosisCenter.com, and also we have the Banyan Hypnosis Mall.com. And as Celeste talked about, we have OurHypnoSpace.com. Geez, it's an internet world, isn't it? Yes, real quick, if you want to find out more about my secret weight loss program, we're helping hypnotists and professionals around the United States, Canada, a couple other countries, not a lot, but slim down, feel healthier, and build a residual income through working with their clients who love the stuff. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.